Into the Light Ministries is proud to present The Alarm Call with music by Joanna Bernier and an in-depth look at the Word of God with Reverend Ron Bernier. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we ask you to sit back and open your hearts and your spirits to what God has to say to you on Your Alarm Call.
Thank you. brothers and sisters, we've been speaking lately in the last few weeks about the most important principle that Scripture gives us, and that is salvation, being born again, becoming a new creature in Christ. Tonight I would like to speak about the second most important thing, and that is repentance. Repentance. It's a word that we unfortunately do not hear ministered from the pulpit that often anymore. And I'm sad to say that I fear the reason we don't hear too much about repentance is that it's hard to put the offering and the gifts and all the rest of it in with repentance. Because normally when we preach repentance, it's a heavy message, and it has to do literally with the wrath of God. And it's very difficult to get the offering after that. And I fear that's the reason a lot of churches don't do it. I pray I'm wrong. I pray there's a different reason for it. But unfortunately, I don't think I am wrong. I really believe that that's the reason. But tonight I want to speak about it because salvation, the greatest gift that God can give, does you absolutely no good whatsoever. No good if you refuse to repent. Or, believe it or not, there are some people who do not understand repentance. First, let me talk to you about what repentance is not. Repentance is not feeling sorry because you got caught. Repentance is not saying, God, if you get me out of this just one more time, I'll never do it again. Knowing that you're going to do it again. For so many times before, you have been involved in the same situation. But rather, repentance is making a total turn. It means going perfectly straight down the highway in a northerly direction, and it means stopping, coming to a complete, to a total stop, turning that vehicle or car or whatever it is around, and going the other direction, never looking back, never turning back, going the other direction from that time on. For the Scripture talks about he who was a thief, that in the future he should steal no more. But it isn't good enough just to stop stealing, but rather he should go out and get a job and work and earn money. And give part of that money to the poor and to the needy and to the hungry. And that should be a life-changing experience that stays with him forever. And God requires repentance in every single area of our life. Remember the Scripture says, and it's speaking of infants, of babies, that they are born selfish from the womb. The baby, that cute little baby, when you look at it, and it's so beautiful and it's so wonderful to look at, especially if it's your grandchild. I know I have one of my own and another one due within a few months. And that there's nothing greater than a grandfather and a grandmother to look at their grandchild and play with them and hold them and listen to them. But I realize as I look at that child that that child's world consists totally of herself. She has no consideration whatsoever about anything other than herself. If she is happy, if she is comfortable, if she is being tickled or whatever, she will laugh, she will enjoy herself, she will have a great time. If the least little bit of uncomfortableness comes to her, she won't begin to cry, she won't begin to carry on, because she wants attention, she wants something changed, she wants a toy, she needs to be changed, she's hungry, whatever the case may be. But she thinks of nothing but herself. And that's normal, because there is nothing else she could think of, there's nothing else she knows of. The only thing she knows is herself, the only world that she knows is her own world, which only extends a couple feet beyond where she can reach, a couple feet beyond where she can kick, and as they get a little older, a couple feet beyond where they can see, They have no memory per se. They don't remember what happened yesterday. They don't remember what happened on a particular television show. They're not interested in this sport or that sport. They are interested totally and only in themselves. That is selfishness. We are born that way from the womb. Now, unfortunately, as we get older, we get worse and worse. We become more and more selfish. The only thing in the world that counts is us. The only thing that makes any difference to us is us. What we are concerned about is our own five senses. We are concerned about what we taste and what we feel and what we smell and what we see and what we hear and those things, what we can touch. We are interested in ourselves and in ourselves only. But when we come to God, God gives us a new life. The Scripture says we are born again. For behold, all old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We have become a new creation in Christ. The Scripture says we must come to Him as a baby. We must come to Him as a child. And as we watch our little granddaughter come to us, and as we watch our granddaughter grow up, and even from week to week, there is a difference. You see an absolute difference in the child. You see the child begin to expand her world. You see her begin to reach out and to experience new things. And God allows us to do the same thing. And He shows us that which is good, good for us, and that which is not good, and not good for us. And that's when we come to the word repentance, to learn what is not good for us, what we need to repent of, what is not good for our life. I want to read you a scripture. In fact, during this particular teaching time allowing, I'd like to read several scriptures. One of the things I've noticed the last few years is that the scriptures have all but been taken out of the church. A few years ago, I was asked to speak in a church in Reno, Nevada. And I will never forget it, because as I am sitting in this chair waiting to get up and speak, first they have this church choir come out, and they've got about 150 of them in these choir robes, and I could not help but wonder how much these velvet choir robes cost and how many people would have been fed. These very things that God commands us to do, to feed the hungry, to visit the sick and those in prison, to clothe the naked. Remember those things? The very things that God commanded us to do, we do not do. The things He never told us to do are the things that everybody has to do. I cannot find, and I have searched from Genesis to Revelation, I can't find one time where it says, "Thus saith the Lord, get out there and get on it and make sure you get that blacktop parking lot put in your church." But you will never find a church without one. Their money has got to go for that parking lot first. That is the most important thing. Neither could I find, get out there and get to it and get some money together and carpet that church. But in every church I've ever been to at one time or another, there has been a committee on the church carpet. They had to save up the money, they had to get the money, they had to get the best carpet they could get in. All the time they've been paying for this blacktop parking lot, all the time they've been paying for this carpet, all the time they've been paying for this air conditioning. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with any of these things in themselves. The problem is when the people of God continue to go hungry, well, we put in the blacktop parking lot. I have been in many areas. A few years ago, my wife and I did a crusade in New York. And we were taken down literally to the ghetto, to the area where God forbid anybody would have to live, although hundreds of thousands do. And as we drove through and as we looked at the houses and talked to the people there, there is a church on every corner. One of the things I could not help but notice, you can't help but notice it, is that every single one of those churches has got a blacktop parking lot, but yet every house in between them, the people are suffering from malnutrition. The children are going to bed hungry. They are literally have their stomachs hurting most of the time from lack of food. But by golly, that church has got the blacktop parking lot, and you know as well as I do that if we went inside, it would have that beautiful carpet in there. And it will have the air conditioning, absolutely. Got to be nice in there in the summertime so the saints can cool off. And some of the older people are dying, literally dying, in their apartments from the heat. God told us to take care of them, to go and to visit them. We wouldn't want to go visit them, wouldn't want to get in their apartment, it's too hot. But repentance means to change all that. It means that our nature changes within us. Has your nature changed within you since you met the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you want with everything within you to do the opposite of what you used to want to do? Remember, I started out on the man who steals. He must not only cease stealing, but now he must go to work, he must earn money, he must help those who are poor, those who are in need, those who are going to have a need of food. You see, there are these very few things that God has told us to do. And as a church, as the house of God, as the called out, we do not do those things. When's the last time you went to a prison to visit the prisoners? And it won't buy it when you stand before God and say, well, Lord, I can swear we sent the pastor out there one time. Yeah, I remember something about, somebody said, it came up at a budget meeting there. I think we gave him like $50 to run out there to the prison. That ain't going to buy it, folks. You and I both know it. That is not what the Word of God says. It doesn't say send the pastor. It says you go. It says those who are sick and in prison, you go. They're too sick to come to church. If you're missing a brother or sister at church, you call them up. They don't have a phone. You go to their house. You find out why they weren't at church. You tell them you care. You want to know why they weren't there. You missed them. And if they were sick and that's the reason they weren't there, then you make sure that you're there to pray for them and to care, to see if there's any needs that you can take care of. And believe me, when they're sick and when they're down with the flu and all these other problems, there's going to be a whole lot of things you can do to help out. You can help out cleaning that house. You can help out doing a whole lot of things. The sisters can help out with cooking of the meals. In fact, some of the brothers could help out. I don't believe in women's work and men's work. There's no such thing. You can get in there and clean them toilets, brothers, just as well as your wives can. And some of you are pretty good cooks. You can get in there and do that too. But anyway, the scripture, in what I started out to say was you don't hear much of the scripture anymore because, and this is the reason, because people do not come to church to learn, they don't come to be instructed, they do not come to grow in the Lord. You know why they come to church? Be honest with yourself. They come to church first to be entertained, and second, to see what Mrs. Johnson and Sally Anderson and Bob Johnson are wearing today, what they look like. And even the pastor and his wife, because we can talk about them later. Maybe the sermon was something we can talk about later. Maybe he mispronounced a word. Maybe there's all the gossip that we can pick up. That went on all week, and maybe we missed some of it. We can get it there at the church. I've seen some of these churches that are the greatest gossip mills I've ever seen in my life. It's all there. If you missed it in the newspaper, go to church, because it'll be there. But I started to tell you about this church in Reno. And I sat down at this church and I watched all these people come in with all these choir robes on, and I know that those robes cost thousands of dollars, and I could not help but think of how many people were still hungry in that congregation. I could not help but think how many people were without a car, how many people were without a coat, without gloves, without a hat, without the very things they needed to exist from day to day. And I knew they didn't have them. And I knew their church had not helped them. And I knew their church did not care. What they cared about was their blacktop parking lot. What they cared about was those choir robes, because they had to look good. And they practiced 3 and 4 days a week in these choir robes. And they got up there and they sang and they sang and they sang and they sang and they sang. In other words, I thought it was never going to stop. And finally my prayer got to be, God, do whatever you have to do, but please, God, stop them from singing. I just can't go on with another song. Don't they ever read your word in this place? Is it nothing but singing? And although the Lord did not speak to me in an audible voice, I knew that He was as tired of the singing as I was. And I knew also that He was grieved that His word was rarely, if ever, read in this church. And I found out later, after that service, I asked some brothers, and they told me once in a great while, the pastor would open the Bible and pick out a verse or two and read it, and then he would dismiss the people. That's how often the Word of God was taught. But they came there to be entertained. Well, after all of these songs finally got finished being sung, the next group in, now this you're going to find hard to believe, I tell you the absolute truth, I was there, I seen it with my own eyes, it happened. Then came forth, I won't give you their name because you know them, but they were a very famous group of roller skaters from the roller skating derby. The ones that go out there on Sunday and skate around in this little circle and beat each other to a pulp, throw each other in and out of this ring. And believe it or not, they roller skated down the aisle onto the altar of God. And being that I was sitting on a chair in back of it, I could see it. They roller skated behind the pulpit of the living and almighty God. And I was about to get sick. And after they talked for a while, and they talked about roller skating and all the fun in the world, then finally they roller skated down the other aisle and they left. And I said, thank God, thank you, Jesus. At least now we can get down to your word. We can get down to talking about what you sent me here to speak. But I was wrong. Because no sooner was I ready to get up, then from the other side, I heard attention, and I heard a group of men start marching in. And here came the worst of all abominations. For on the other side, the pastor had invited all these men in uniform, and they all came marching down the aisle. They marched up on the podium there and stood behind the pulpit of God. And from where I sat, the smell of liquor, the smell of beer and booze was enough to knock you over. This was a morning service, and I thought, my God in heaven, what time did they start drinking? 5 a.m.? They're all half smashed, standing here behind your altar with loaded guns. This is really turned in to a place that is anything but a house of God. And I wanted to get up, and I wanted to just scream Ichabod, that the glory of God had left this place. That I understood now Now, finally, I understood why we could have a church on every corner, but the prostitutes and the drunkards were not getting saved. That those out there were not repenting, for they had never even heard of the word. They didn't even know what it was. For everyone they seen who said they were supposedly saved, they were supposedly a churchgoer, they were supposedly religious, they were supposedly of God, were no different than they were, other than they were a bigger liar. And that was the only difference they ever seen. But I want to read you the verse out of Joel 2, in verse 1. The Word of God says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion." That means to make a big noise that everybody can hear it. "Sound an alarm on my holy mountain, and let all of the inhabitants of the land tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming, surely it is near. The day of the Lord is close at hand." And as it draws even nearer, a voice right now today is crying out in the wilderness of the church. The church is a wilderness, brothers and sisters, but the voice of God is crying out today, no different than His servants, for the age-old message of repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, is still being screamed out by God. But unfortunately, very, very few are listening. For the word of the Lord says, "Narrow is the way, and few there be who find it. But broad is the way, and many there be who walk into hell." I pray right now, I ask you to pray with me. Jesus, let not one that hears my voice walk into hell in ignorance. Let them know by knowledge. In Jesus' name I ask.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and we ask you to join us again next time on The Alarm Call. Remember, should you wish to reach us, you can do so on the World Wide Web at www.intothelight.org. Should you have an emergency and need to get a hold of us, you can do so at 417-335-4529. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you and hope you have a wonderful day in Jesus' name.